Welcome back to the Sights and Sound Show with me, Janae Darden on KALW 91.7 FM. There's been a lot of excitement in the arts community about the Oakland Museum's latest exhibition. It's called Mildred Howard, Poetics of Memory. The works displayed span 5 decades of the iconic multimedia artist's career. Mildred Howard was born in San Francisco and grew up in the East Bay, most of those years in South Berkeley. You might have seen her large brown sculpture that looks like a piece of West African jewelry near Ashby BART station. She created it in honor of her mother, an activist, Mabel Howard. Her mother led a movement in the 1960s for BART tracks to run underground so that they wouldn't divide the predominantly black South Berkeley neighborhood if built above ground. Or maybe you've seen Mildred Howard's bronze locks and keys installation in downtown San Francisco, which pays homage to union leader Harry Bridges. Mildred is an internationally known artist with honorary doctorates, and she's a 2025 Guggenheim Fellow. This is her first exhibition at a major museum. I met with Mildred Howard at her West Oakland home. Here's our discussion. Miss Mildred Howard, hello.
Hi, how are you?
I am ecstatic because I am meeting you. Your exhibition blew me away. And I'm in your beautiful home. This, when you think of an artist's home, this is what you think of. And I'm looking at all these beautiful paintings and these beautiful images from like Paris and Monterey Jazz Festival. And I see your art and this red accent wall here with this African art, and there's grapes and wine. I don't know. It just feels like, and I'm sorry, not artist, maker. I feel like I'm in a maker's home. It just feels, I think I see some ancestors, some pictures of ancestors here. It just feels like it's a beautiful feeling.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a beautiful feeling, and I'm really honored to be here.
Thank you.
Yeah, to talk to you. Congratulations.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about the exhibition.
Yeah. What's exciting about it for you?
There are several things that are exciting. It's here in my hometown.
Yeah.
Or in the San Francisco Bay Area is home to me.
Yeah.
Although I've had shows all over.
Yeah.
The country, including internationally, to have something in where you live and where you work is extra special, and especially when it spans a lifetime of work.
The work is really just powerful and beautiful, and it makes you think. I want to go to the beginning. To the beginning of, as far as I can go back to the beginning of your life, your parents. Your parents ran, your mom just ran an antique store? Both of them did.
Both of them did. My father was a longshoreman.
Yes.
And he would work in fact, there were several generations of longshoremen in my family. And he would work in the shop with my mom when he got off from work.
Okay. And your mom, Mabel Howard, was an activist. Your father's name was Raleigh?
Yes.
Raleigh Howard. I want to say their names. And your mom did so much incredible work in Berkeley, South Berkeley, which is where they migrated to, during the Great Migration. How did they inspire you as an artist? My grandfather was a longshoreman. How did they inspire you as an artist?
I think by watching them work, because my mom would refinish furniture, help with the repairs of furniture. She took me to antique shops, to museums. She enrolled me in dance classes very young, where I also took arts and craft classes. So that was it. Mm-hmm. And I've always been interested in the creative process. When you're growing up, everything is new. But now that I'm older and in retrospect, I've always been interested in the creative process.
In an interview with Oakland Museum, you describe yourself as a maker rather than an artist. So school me, what's the difference?
Well, I don't know if there's a difference. I think it incorporates a variety of things, not just making art, but there's this thing where these titles are placed on what you do and who you are. And I'm more than that. I'm more than just an artist. Mm-hmm. But I guess I shouldn't even say just an artist, but more than an artist.
And that's all part of being creative.
It's part of being creative and part of being engaged in the world.
You mentioned your mother being, or your parents owning an antique shop. And so I know you saw all type of materials. One thing I'm fascinated about artist makers is you all see things that I wouldn't. I'm a different type of artist. I'm a writer. You see things and see art in something that I'm like, that bottle cap? And then you, it's art, and you transform it into something like just magnificent. What draws you to a piece? What draws you to a material?
What draws me to material is the possibility of what it could be. What else could that be? It goes back to the period in art where, this is probably a pipe. Magritte. And I really thought about that when I received my first fellowship to Bellagio, Italy, to the Rockefeller Foundation in Bellagio. And I was looking out the window, and there's a piece that he did of a man with a hat on, and it's looking out a window. Mm-hmm. And I felt that kind of understanding of what he was talking about. You really can make art out of almost anything.
Yeah.
Because everything you want to know is right around you. Everything you need is right there in front of you. You just have to look deeply and understand the possibilities of what could be.
And that's so contrary to the message sometimes our society pushes on us, is that you need to get something else. You need to do more. That's not enough. And where you're saying, like, there is enough because it's right there in front of you.
More is always there.
Yeah. I love the title of this exhibition, Poetics of Memory. What does that mean?
Memory comes in bits and pieces. Like a haiku, in a way. Mm-hmm. And those fragments, or those bits and pieces, stimulates one's curiosity of what could be.
And that's what I was telling you earlier. One of the things I loved about the exhibition is that it's spaced out. You know, there's smaller pieces, there are really, really large pieces, but there's a lot of space. And your work, you really have to sit with your work as you're taking it in. And I feel like I just have a lot of space to process the work. And then, too, along with that title, it makes you want to sit and just kind of be with it and absorb it and see what strikes you. You know, that's how I felt about your work when I went to the exhibition.
Well, I think that the pieces, because they are so large, they demand space.
Yes.
But within that space, they talk to one another.
Mm.
Not only do they speak to one another, but they speak to the visitor. You're standing in one space and looking in one piece, for example, the red house.
Yes.
With the red apples.
Yes. And the red house is this big, it's red glass house.
Yes, it is. It's a large glass, ruby red glass house with a reflecting pool with floating glass apples.
Yes.
And that's the first time that's been shown outside of Tacoma, Washington.
And this house was, this is a glass house, and it was shipped.
It was shipped from Tacoma to the Oakland Museum.
Wow. Shout out to Oakland Museum and whoever shipped it, because that's...
Well, it comes apart.
Okay, but still, I was like, it's big pieces of glass.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And it's laminated glass just for safety purposes.
That piece was deep. I mean, a lot of the pieces, they're all deep, but that piece was really deep because it's something about, you know, we talk about glass houses and then the color red, and that can symbolize so many different things.
Blackbird in a Red Sky, mm-hmm. a.k.a. Fall of the Bloodhouse.
Mm.
It gives me chills thinking about it today. Not always.
And I remember I was reading in an interview, you said sometimes not so good things happen in a house.
Exactly. Yeah. Great things happen. And that's when I add the blackbird, because I think blackbirds are a metaphor for freedom.
Yeah. You know, we're talking about red, this red house, the crimson red apples. What is, and I'm looking, you have a red recliner here, you have this red accent wall, and when I saw you, you look so beautiful on the opening, and you had on red, you had red lipstick. I said, go ahead, Miss Howard. Why do you love the color red?
Red has so much energy, and I like that, and I need energy to just navigate through this world.
I heard that.
Because it can sometimes be extremely challenging.
Yeah, yeah. It's a powerful color, you know. It's
and why not red?
Yeah. If you're just joining me, I'm chatting with artist, maker, Mildred Howard. We're in her West Oakland home, and her major exhibition, Mildred Howard Poetics of Memory, is currently running at the Oakland Museum until October 18th, and I highly, highly recommend that you go see it. I love that you put your own image, your own face in some of your work. And I always find it interesting when artists, makers make themselves a subject. I just thought that was really, really cool. And then there's one piece where half your face is face painted. You know, the piece I'm talking about?
The whole face was painted, but it was a profile.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. It was a pro. I love that piece. What does that say when the maker puts themselves as a subject?
Well, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm available. And artists have been using themselves for years in portraits, paintings, and various aspects. I got that idea from the Art Institute, the Chicago Art Ensemble. The Art Ensemble of Chicago.
Okay.
That's the right, correct name.
Okay.
And I had gone to see them, and they were musicians who were playing in the neighborhood that I was living at the time, at a place called Mumpinsey.
Mm-hmm.
And Mumpinsey was a jazz club, a small jazz club in South Berkeley.
Okay.
And the Art Ensemble of Chicago was playing there. And if you haven't heard them perform or heard their music, I just would say, listen to it.
Okay, I'll have to.
And their faces were painted. And I said, oh, I wonder how my face would look painted. And that goes back to the what if I tried this or if I tried that. And that's where I got that idea from.
I know our producer, Porfirio Rango, one of his favorite pieces in the exhibition is the one with the book and the history book, and there's holes.
That came about by happenstance. I was drilling holes in books to make this totem of 15 feet high books all in a totem.
Oh, wow.
And I was drilling those two. That was the volume, the piece you're speaking of is the volume of the history of the United States with a few missing parts.
Yes.
And when I opened, for some reason, I opened to the page that is on. And then I took the other one and opened it to the same page. On one section, it talks about those coming through New York, through Ellis Island. And the other part, it talks about the Louisiana Purchase and what was happening to Native Americans, which is contrary to what many see as the United States.
Yeah.
And I thought about, once again, the Middle Passage. Because my folks didn't come that way.
Mine didn't.
And
either.
How contradictory history is. And history is for those who write it, those who remember, and those who are telling the story.
Yeah.
So part of what I feel is important as an artist is to tell my story and how I see it.
And one of the many things I love about the exhibition is before you even go to the exhibition, going back to seeing yourself in the image, and I'm thinking about how recently the Treasury Department said they were not going to put Harriet Tubman on the $20 bill. But we could see Mildred Howard on a $100 bill, when you walk into the museum, before you even enter the exhibition, when you walk into the onto the grounds of the museum, there is a huge mural of you on a $100 bill, which I thought was very powerful. And like I said, and I heard the news about Harriet Tubman not being on a $20 bill. And I said, to see a black woman on a $100 bill, and then it was on the back of it where it says, "God, we trust you have College Alameda."
They were passing those out at the College of Alameda because I decided
recently?
I'd get a this was like in the late 70s.
Okay.
And I was, I had been making clothes for people for years. And I said, well, I might as well get a degree in pattern making and design. Mm-hmm. And so I enrolled with my twins and I'd take the bus out there or drive my 1963 Volkswagen drop top convertible with the hole in the floor.
Okay.
And they'd sit in the back and I'd drop them off at the child care. And then I'd go to my drafting classes. And they were passing out those $100 bills for something and I can't remember. But I was in my drafting class and I had this portfolio of all kinds of things, which included that $100 bill and the photograph of myself. Mm-hmm. So I cut it out and put it on the $100 bill just because, for no reason other than I thought that might be interesting. And that's what I did.
Yeah, it is interesting. It's interesting to see a black woman on a $100 bill.
Well, when you go to other countries, like especially to the Caribbean, you see all kinds of people on money.
True.
Just leave this country.
Got to
travel. Racism is real.
Mm-hmm. So we're in your home. I know South Berkeley is home to you as well. I mean, we're in West Oakland now. And you lived in South Berkeley, and I remember the story when the landlord jacked up your rent to a ridiculous amount and you had to move, and so many of your family's in South Berkeley, and I'm thinking of that glass house in the exhibition. And again, I'm in your beautiful home. What does home mean to you?
To me, it means a safe place. Mm-hmm. Where I can just be myself.
Yeah. And I feel yourself in this place, in this space right now. I'm thinking about your parents. What would your mom and dad say, knowing that you have this big exhibition, like you said, in your hometown?
Both of my parents would be very happy. And my mom was able to attend a lot of my shows mm-hmm. before she passed away. So that was good. My father died when I was 18. And I can remember him coming to my high school graduation and starting to cry just because I had graduated from high school. So if you think, if I'm the youngest of 10 and my parents were, you know, born over 100 years ago, I mean, that's not far from slavery.
Right.
Or emancipation.
Right. And sharecropping and all that stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Last question, what still inspires Mildred Howard?
What inspires me is the everyday people. When I received one of my honorary PhDs, I was sitting in my car and I talked about the raindrops on my windowsill. And if you look at a drop of water, the image is inverted. And sitting in my car, I saw parents walking with their kids to the child care, women walking with their baskets filled with food from the food bank, street people. So everything you want to know about the world is right there in front of you. So I am inspired by everyday things, by people, by objects, by something I might hear on the radio, by reading something. That all inspires me. I'd like to just read something that was written a long time ago before I close.
Okay.
Because there's so much being said about social justice. So it says, history will record that the greatest tragedy of this period of social transition was not the strident clamor of bad people, but the appalling silence of good people. Martin Luther King. Mm-hmm. And that's so true. So I hope that my work speaks to the masses.
Well, it definitely spoke to me. And I know it has spoken to hundreds of people were at the opening. So I know it's speaking to people. And like your work is all around the world. So, yeah. Again, Major Howard, it has been an honor and a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
That was multimedia artist, maker, Mildred Howard. See her exhibition, Mildred Howard, Poetics of Memory, at the Oakland Museum now until October 18th. And coming up, we go across the bridge and discuss a San Francisco art exhibition that celebrates the past, present, and future of resistance in queer and trans communities. Stay with us.